You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. The kid is hot tonight. Whoa, so hot tonight. Where will he be in a couple of minutes? Right here, the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart will join us. We're going to talk some hot roster, some fantasy baseball matchups heading into tonight. We got a full slate of Major League Baseball on the board. Steve Merrill will join us. We'll talk a little baseball with Steve Merrill. We'll talk NBA basketball with Steve Merrill. We'll talk NASCAR with Steve Merrill. We came oh so freaking close last week to giving you Truex Jr. Plus 650. We'll give you a couple of more picks. Steve's been on fire all year long. I won with Kyle Larson about 6 weeks ago. It was plus 900. And we're still plus units with that win, sort of, but we better pick a winner soon. I swear, man, I should just bet top five when it comes to NASCAR because my guys always finish second or third. I'm always right there, and it's always heartbreak city. So we'll break it down Monster Mile style. Oh, we're shaking things up. We're mixing things up. We got something for everybody on the program today. We're talking UFC. Cody Saftick's going to join us in studio. We'll talk a little fantasy MMA, but I want to get Cody's thoughts from a betting perspective on UFC 212 from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Vitor Belfort's supposed last fight. Except, you know, last fights are like rock bands' last tours. You know, I've told the story before. I remember seeing The Who on TV when I was a kid. Last show ever. I've seen The Who live like three times since then. All right, so last show ever, I don't know. All right, so ton of stuff to get to on the program today. Like I said, we're mixing it up. We'll talk a little hockey with Cam as well. Stanley Cup's been off for a couple of days. Game three goes down tomorrow night in Nashville following me and Cam's first ever golf classic. Now, we've had golf tournaments in the past before. Me and Cam have been involved in a lot of golf tournaments together in the past before. I've had Sports Rage golf tournaments, but it's the first ever official Red Heat and Rage golf classic. And it's going to be off the hook. We got quite the motley crew coming out to Banty's Roost. And, you know, they say that Banty's Roost, anything goes out there. I guess we're going to put that to the test tomorrow. And then we're going to watch the hockey game and some UFC. It's going to be a pretty crazy day tomorrow. So it's, you know, the calm before the storm. But we got hockey on Saturday night. And we've got UFC on Saturday night following our golf tournament as well. So Saturday's already pretty much well planned. Now, the National Basketball Association Finals Game 2 goes down Sunday. And as the late, great Yogi Berra once so eloquently stated, it's deja vu all over again. And it's exactly what happened as Game 1 of the NBA Finals is officially in the books. And it was a hell of a lot like Game 1 last year, wasn't it? Let's do a score check. Final score last night was 113-91. Last year, Game 1 of the NBA Finals was 104-89. So you know what? The Golden State Warriors put up a couple of more points. The Cleveland Cavaliers were pretty much in the same spot that they were in. As far as Game 2 was concerned last year, Game 2 was a rout. It was like 110-77, all right, in Game 2. Golden State routed them. We all know what happened after that. So I'm here to tell you right now, before you buy in and believe everything that you read by the so-called experts on the mainstream sports websites, that this series is done. Ooh, LeBron was right when he threw the temper tantrum earlier in the year. He needed more players and more firepower. This series might be a sweep. You know, it's already the talk right now, the Golden State Warriors. Are they really going to go undefeated in the playoffs? Will that mean they're the greatest team ever? I don't know. Probably not, actually, to be honest. Probably not. As good as they are, I don't know. The Miami Dolphins, the team that went, they went undefeated, are they really the best football team ever? Or they just happened to go 14-0 one year? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But what I do know is it's not a surprise. Like Yogi Berra stated, it's deja vu all over again. And in fact, I'm not right often because I'm a stupid idiot. But I told you guys all week long, Game 1, blowout city, baby. Blowout city. NBA final game ones are always blowout city. In fact, I even said the number's going to go up to about 9. It opens up at 8.5. It's already up to 9 in Vegas in some spots. It's probably going to hit up to 10. If you like the Golden State Warriors, pull the trigger right now. You're not going to get 8.5 on Sunday night. You're not going to get 9 on Sunday night. Once Johnny Public starts betting this on Sunday evening, and we've got a couple of days for the buildup for the mainstream media jackals to tell everybody how done Cleveland are. Is this really a surprise? As we stated, you know what? The Cleveland Cavaliers got blown out in the first two games last year. I told everybody coming into this series, I don't expect anyone to win on the road. Maybe Golden State wins in game 6 or something like that on the road. But before you think that Cleveland is done, history has repeated itself, and it repeats itself all the freaking time. The last 20 years, game 1 of the NBA Finals, the home team won 17 of them. Oh, shocking that Golden State won. And as far as, well, I'm surprised it wasn't closer. Have you been paying attention? What happened last year? They played 7 games. Only one game was decided by 11 points or less. And in fact, the last 10 times they played right now, blowouts. One team or the other blows each other out. These two teams don't play close games. It's something to remember if you're thinking, ooh, I want to take the points on Sunday night. They don't play close games. They played one close game, and that was game 7. And history repeats itself over and over and over again as evidence of the fact that LeBron James came in last night. It was his 7th NBA appearance, finals appearance in a row, right? Well, he'd only won one game 1 before. It's like the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors never win game 1. The Raptors never beat the Bulls. And it happens over and over, and then people are surprised. Oh, I can't believe the Raptors lost game 1 of the playoff series. Oh, yeah, you mean the same Raptors are like 1-12 in game 1 of the playoff series? You can't believe that LeBron James and the Cavaliers lost last night, the same LeBron James that's now 1-6 in game 1 of NBA Finals. You know what the old adage is, of course. A playoff series doesn't really officially begin until a team loses at home. And this series is that case in point. It can never be freaking truer. There's still a long, long way to go, people. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We have a very, very diverse portfolio on the program today. Literally and figuratively, something for everybody. And I like to pride myself on that. We're on top of everything. So we've got NBA talk. We got NASCAR talk. We've got baseball from a betting perspective. We've got baseball from a fantasy DFS perspective. And then we're going to hit the UFC from a betting and fantasy perspective. So that's a lot of bases to cover in a 1 hour program. So let's get right down to business. Steve Merrill's the first one out of the gate with us. Steve, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So, Steve, a lot of stuff to get to. Let's start off with the NBA. I just said off the top of the program that, you know, I see all the mainstream columnists and all the mainstream websites talking about sweep and Golden State are just way too much for Cleveland. And they saw this coming, and Golden State are the greatest team ever, and all this other type of stuff. And I guess they forget that it was pretty much the same score last year. The Cleveland Cavaliers scored 89 points in game 1 last year. They scored 91 last night. They got blown out in game 2, and they ended up winning the series. This series isn't over yet because of one game that's a blowout.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if history repeats itself in game 2. The biggest blowout actually was game 2 last year. The Warriors won by 33 at home after that 15-point win in game 1. And they had the 3-1 series lead heading back to game 5 before Cleveland won the last 3 to win the series. You know, everyone remembers Cleveland won the series last year, but a lot of people forget that Draymond Green was suspended for game 5. Otherwise, Golden State probably wins that series 4-1 instead of losing it 4-3 the other way. I think because of that, though, Golden State will remain focused for all of these games. And, normally I'd like to play Class A teams off a blowout loss, especially in Game 2, Road Dogs. It's been a long-term winning angle for decades. I had a best bet on Golden State last night in Game 1 for my clients. I like them in this series, so it's a little bit of a conflict for me in Game 2. The situation would normally automatically have me on Cleveland. The problem is I still think Golden State's a much better team. There's definitely line value now. I put the play out at -7 last night. It went to 7.5 by tip-off. It's now 8.5 for game two. Even though Cleveland's in a better spot in game two, the line is almost a full basket higher. But tough call, because I definitely think Golden State will not let up like teams normally would after an easy win.
It's going to get higher. I mean, it's hit 9 in a couple of spots in Vegas right now. I think Cantor Gaming's got a 9 up, and I think Stations Casinos has a 9 up already. I got to believe the public's going to buy in to Golden State once again. And as you mentioned, Steve, you know, historically and with a team as good as the Cleveland Cavaliers, you figure, all right, you know, you're getting 9, maybe double-digit points in game two after a poor performance in game one. They're going to bounce back. I think they do bounce back. And I think the Cleveland Cavaliers will play better on Sunday night. But I still think they're going to lose, Steve. And we can't fall for this. You and I talk about this a lot as far as point spreads not meaning anything in Super Bowls. They don't mean as much in NFL games as it used to. And a similar situation here in which, look, last year, Steve, 6 of the 7 games in the NBA Finals were blowouts. You know, the closest game besides game 7 was 11 points. And in fact, 8 out of the last 10 times they played now, it's been a blowout one way or the other. I don't really see why it isn't again. But yeah, Cleveland played better, but Golden State just sort of pull away and beat them up again. And then if we're patient, then when everybody really thinks that Cleveland's done, we buy the Cavs in game 3, Steve.
Yeah, and that's the situation that worked last year, obviously. Cleveland won game 3 by 30 points after losing games 1 and 2 by double digits.
120 to 90, I think, off the top of my head. You're right. They killed
them. So, you know, normally this looks like a good bounce-back spot for Cleveland, but like you said, it did not work last year. The biggest loss of the series was in game 2, yet they still won the series. You know, they won the championship still. So it's not like they weren't competitive, and they still got blown out. So it is hard to trust them in game 2, even though, you know, technically it looks like a good setup. The total is tricky as well. The two regular season games both totaled exactly 217. Both stayed under the total. Last night stayed under the total as well. The games last year and the year before mostly stayed under as well. But my rescoring model for the two regular season games both met in around the 230 ranges. The pace was extremely fast. And as we saw last night, I don't think Cleveland can stop Golden State. So even if Cleveland plays well or wins this game, I think they're going to give up a ton of points still. And their defense in general has been terrible this year. They give up over 46% shooting on the road. So the total's difficult as well. The games keep going under, yet the pace and the defense really hasn't been there, and the pace has been fast.
Yeah, you know, it was funny because it was Brick City for the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game, and then it just opened up. They ended up putting 65 points up in the first quarter, but that was the only thing that hit to the over. After that, it was just a slow progression to go down. And you're right, it's really hard to bet on these totals. And I'm a sucker, and I'm almost inclined to think, well, it could go over in game two at 221. You're getting value. But the problem is, Steve, as we stated, 8 of the last 10 times these two teams have played each other, there's been blowouts. So we're getting garbage time in the fourth quarter all the time, and it's brutal. It's really frustrating.
Yeah, it's interesting that they started slowly, Gabe, because both teams have been off for a week plus, Golden State for a week and a half, Cleveland for a full week. So, you know, that also might help a higher scoring game, too, because the teams are less likely to come out flat in game two from a shooting perspective because there's no long layoff. It's only a 2-day rest. Also, the lineups are totally different now with Durant on the court. The pace of play for those two regular season games was much faster than all the NBA Finals meetings the last 2 years. So I do think it's a different lineup for Golden State. They match up even better now. And then on top of that, Cleveland's defense, as I keep saying, and we've talked about numerous times, is definitely weaker this season. They're winning with offense, and Golden State can win both ways, but they should be able to score at will still, and that's another reason it's tough to trust Cleveland in game two, even in a good bounce-back situation, because I just don't think they match up well. We saw that in the regular season. They led by 39 points in that easy 35-point home win. They lost by 1 on Christmas Day on the road, but they had a 14-point lead in that game. They never trailed by more than 2 in any of the games this season.
You know, it was a nice play we gave last night, Steve. Kevin Durant to be the leading scorer of the game, plus 265. We cashed that. I wish I would have put more. It was a little close at the end because Durant was on the bench. LeBron was still on the court. And LeBron was at like 28, but Durant came back in. And like you said earlier, they're not letting up. They're not going to let up. Golden State generally play their star players in blowouts more than most teams do to begin with. And they're not taking any chances. I don't know if I'll go back to the well with that bet. But it's funny because DeMar DeRozan was asked after they got smoked by the Cavs, what was the difference in the series? And he said, they have LeBron James, we don't. That's the difference in the series. And last night after the game, LeBron James was asked, what happened? What, you know, what's your take on game one? And he said, Kevin Durant's the take. And he goes, they didn't have Kevin Durant before. Now they do. And he said it was a big problem. And it's funny just how, like, how honest, because it's just, it's obvious in basketball. We all know, we all knew it was going to be these two teams. And now even LeBron knows, like, oh, dear God, we're in a lot of trouble now that they have Durant.
Yeah, you look at next year, they've got the future odds for next year already. Before game one last night, Golden State is minus money, anywhere from minus 125 to minus 180 to be the champ next year. And that was before last night. Cleveland was around 4-1. Everybody else is 10 or 20 to 1 or higher. So, I mean, there's only two teams in the NBA right now. I think there's three MVPs and 11 All-Stars on these two teams combined during the years. And you mentioned Kevin Durant. That's the one difference between these two teams since last year is Kevin Durant's now on Golden State. Not only was he the leading scorer last night, but he was the favorite to win the MVP coming into the series yesterday. Slight favorite over Stephon Curry and then also a favorite over LeBron James.
Yeah, you have a team that set the all-time record for wins and they add Kevin Durant.
Right, so technically, I mean, the best player on the court now wasn't even there last year, and they still had a 3-1 series lead last year and probably should have won the title. You know, I keep going back to Draymond Green being suspended. That really changed that series,
I think.
It did,
but he was always suspended one game. You're right. They probably lost
game five. You know, they probably don't lose that game five. It's over.
It's like the Buckner baseball. Hey, there was a game seven after, right? Like, people forget that. People think the Mets won the World Series on that play. The Chris Webber timeout. Michigan were losing. It's not like, you know, they were going to come back and win. No one really knows what would have happened. But anyways, let's get to some NASCAR here because we can go on and on about the basketball. The Monster Mile, we talked about it earlier in the week when we said Jimmy Johnson, it's his favorite track. He's favored in the plus 500 range. 10-time winner here, but he hasn't won here since 2013. It's only been actually three races, as long as drought that he's had. He has won three of the last seven races here. Interesting stat, and, you know, here's an interesting record. Jimmy Johnson, he's one win away, so he would tie Darrell Waltrip and Richard Petty. He's the only drivers with 11 wins at one track. Pretty impressive, man. Jimmy, the numbers he's putting up, but I'm not sure he gets it.
Yeah, he'd actually won two out of three races. He won the spring race in both 14 and 15. But since and finished third in between. So three top three finishes. But since then, he's been 7th, 25th, and 41st the last three races. So he hasn't been that good. I think the best value is actually with Joey Logano. I've seen him as high as 14-1. He's only like 6th or 7th on the board. Yet he has been top 11 in four of his last five starts here. He's been top 10 in almost three of those five. And I just think he's underrated. He's been as good as anybody on the circuit this year. And all of a sudden, he's at 14-1 on a track that he can definitely win.
Kyle Busch, you and I have been talking a lot about Joe Gibbs Racing this year. They're getting better. They're knocking on the door. Busch, you know, we don't really count Truex, but Busch won the All-Star race. And looking here, he's a two-time winner here. He's hot right now. Three straight top five finishes. Second place in the Coca-Cola last week. He's knocking on the door and. He's killed it here before. He's led a lot of laps in his career here as well. Not great odds in the plus 600 range, but I think he's very live to win this thing.
Yeah, the two best drivers last week, obviously Martin Truex Jr. and then Kyle Busch, and they both were good third and fourth in the two practice sessions so far. And Martin Truex won the fall race last year. He has been top seven in four of the last five Dover starts. Kyle Busch has been second in two of his last three starts here. Problem is he was 30th and 36th in the other two starts in his last four here. But both of them look really good again. One other guy I want to mention is Matt Kenseth, another Gibbs racer.
Yep.
He was second fastest in the first practice session at Dover. He has been top seven in four of his last five starts. He's been top five in three of those last five starts here at Dover.
Yeah, Kenseth is always that silent assassin, great fantasy pick. As you stated, he's been in seventh place or better in six of his last seven races. Couple of long shots, Steve. I don't know. You already called him out a couple of weeks ago, but we got Ricky Stenhouse at 75-1. He's done okay here. I don't know if he wins, but you know, he could be a prop or a matchup play. And Ryan Newman, a three-time winner. You know, he's already got a win this year. 75-1, Steve. Some pretty big numbers right there.
Yes, Stenhouse so far pretty good, 11th in the practice session, and he has been 11th, 14th, and 8th the last three starts here. So he's been 14th or better in each of his last three starts, which for him is very good.
And he's done well at Bristol as well, which is sort of a slight comparison.
Yeah, they're both concrete tracks. This is a mile. Bristol's a half mile, but the surface is similar. A guy that used to always run well here was Carl Edwards. They called him Concrete Carl. He's now gone, but Suarez is in the 19 car. He's another
Suarez
gift card.
Suarez has been all right, eh? Like, for I don't really pay much attention to him, but he's been pretty solid. Like, a lot of top 12 finishes, this guy.
Yeah, and another rookie I like to use a lot is Eric Jones, which is Truex's teammate in the 77 car. So both of those are technically Gibbs drivers. And as I mentioned, Truex, Kenseth, Kyle Busch have always done well here. So maybe, you know, Suarez or Eric Jones will look at their practice times. But they both have that same Gibbs team information, so they might be worth a look as well.
I'm calling it now, Steve. Joe Gibbs is one of his guys are winning this week. Kenseth or Busch. I'm going to say Busch. I know it's not sexy at plus 600, plus 650, but I think it's going to be a Joe Gibbs guy. They're going to get into the winner's circle this weekend.
Yeah, it's the longest drought in almost a decade since Gibbs has won a race to start a season. It's, 12 or 13 races
now. Like, I almost feel like you got to bet on them every week now because you're going to cash.
Well, you're getting some value because of that. I mean, I think the odds are a little bit slighted because they haven't won, even though they've been running well.
All right, so speaking of running well, the Houston Astros, I assume they're going to remain atop your power pole. These guys just keep rolling, Steve. We got a fun game tonight, Texas Lone Star State rivalry, Houston and Texas. Pitcher's duel here. We got Dallas Keuchel. He's 8-0 on the year. He's got a 1.81 earned run average. Meanwhile, Yu Darvish. Counters for the Rangers. You know, the Rangers have lost 8 of their last 11 baseball games, but the Rangers have also won 5 of Darvish's last 6 starts as well. The Astros are just freaking smoking right now, though. 9-1 in their last 10. They get it done against the Twins. Low scoring, high scoring, doesn't matter. And how about this, Steve? The Astros are now 13-1 in game ones of series this year.
I always like to look at road statistics because that takes in all different types of parks. You know, in Houston and Texas, it's a good example tonight. Houston's been very good on the road this year. Their offense is averaging 6.5 runs a game, batting .293 on the road. That's pretty impressive after 24 road games. They're 18-6 now. Texas, meanwhile, good numbers at home, 5.5 runs a game, about .260. On the road, they're only averaging about 3.5 runs, around .230. So I think Houston is the much better team. Texas has been strong at home this year, 17-10. But still, like 2 games below .500. Those road games are killing them. I think that shows that Houston's a better team overall.
You know, it's insane that Houston are up 12 games on Texas. They're up 12 games.
Right. Remember how fortunate Texas was last year? I keep mentioning this in the power ratings. Remember all those one-run wins Texas had last year, and I kept saying they were one of the most phony teams
in the playoffs.
Yeah,
the Rangers and the Falcons, the two teams you hate the most.
Well, yeah, no, we haven't been running the Falcons necessarily. That was a little longer ago. Once the Falcons started winning, I got off that bandwagon. But, yeah, Texas entering the playoffs, I knew they were phony last year, and they fell off right away. A lot of lucky wins last year, and they haven't had as much luck this year.
I know you're a big percentage guy. You're going to like this one. Houston have a 93%